Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation. This is the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and this time we have the full year financial results hot off the press. We'll be bidding farewell to a great friend of the show, and of course we have your questions. In the studio with me then, as always, is Charles Woodburn, Chief Executive of BAE Systems. Charles, hello, good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, hi Tim, great to be here again.
And it wouldn't be a financial results podcast without the company of Pete Lynas, Group Finance Director. Pete, hello again, good to see you.
Yeah, hey Tim, good to be back.
Charles, the full year financial results for 2019 have been released then. And before we come to Pete for the details, how would you characterise generally the company's performance in 2019?
Well, Tim, it was a good set of financial results with sales and earnings growth in line with expectations. Importantly for me, our operational performance improved. And this really is around delivering on our promises for our customers. So it's not just in-year performance that affects, but also our ability to win new work, new opportunities and grow the business for the future. So some standout performances from electronic systems and the air sector, and also making progress across UK maritime and US combat vehicles. So across the board, we saw some strong performances. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody right across the company for the part that they've played in delivering this good set of results.
Okay, thank you for that. What about other highlights, Charles?
Well, other highlights for me in the last 12 months have been our technology acquisitions. Prismatic and Riptide autonomous solutions were both agreed in 2019, and they're great additions to our portfolios within air and electronic systems, respectively. And of course, earlier this year, we announced these two proposed acquisitions in the US that we talked about on the very last podcast, namely Collins Aerospace Military GPS business and Raytheon's Airborne Tactical Radios business. These are two very high-quality technology-based businesses that really complement our existing portfolio and enhance our capabilities. And I believe they're great examples of how we're investing in our future and accelerating our technology strategy to underpin growth.
Now, as colleagues are aware, Pete, you're retiring from BAE Systems very soon. In fact, this, of course, is your last podcast. We will reflect on your time with the business later, but you do still have a job to do. So let's get the numbers then. What were the headlines from today?
Yeah, it was a great set of results today, my last and probably the best for the company. Sales were up by 7% to £20.1 billion. Underlying earnings before interest, tax and amortisation were up 5% on a like-for-like basis. And the most important metric for our shareholders is the underlying earnings per share. And those were up 7% to 45.8 pence, which was smack in line with what we told the markets we would deliver. Operating cash flow, always important. We delivered £1.3 billion. And so we closed the net debt at the end of the year at £743 million. And one of the strengths of this group is the order backlog. And that's the difference between all the orders we've received and the sales we've made. And that was at £45.4 billion at the end of the year. That's slightly down on the previous year. And that's really because when we get some long-term contracts in the air sector, we trade those out. But that was partly offset by another good year of growth in our US businesses. And then I probably ought to cover pensions, one item on the balance sheet. The group share of the pre-tax accounting pension deficit has increased to £4.5 billion, and that's largely due to lower discount rates in the UK and the US. But as I've spoken about many times on this show, the reported accounting number is not really what's important here. It's about the funding requirement that we put into the schemes. And on our UK pension schemes, that number is about £2.5 billion lower than the accounting deficit. And one of the things we announced today was the pensions deal. So last year we consolidated six out of our nine UK schemes, and we agreed with the pensions regulator and the trustee board that we bring forward the valuation that we had planned for 2020, and we brought that forward to October 2019. Now that valuation's completed. The deficit was at £1.9 billion, clearly a lot less than the accounting number, and the scheme is 92% funded. And having done that consolidation, it was the right time then to look at could we accelerate the pension deficit funding plan that we already had in place. So we've accelerated the plan. We're going to put £1 billion in the very near future, another £240 million in 2020, and a further £250 million in 2021.
Okay, can we come back to that later? Lots of colleagues have been asking about this point, about the £1 billion payment towards that deficit. We'll come back to that later, if that's all right, Pete, and go into that in slightly more detail, because as you can appreciate, colleagues do want to know about that and to understand it. Let's move on, though, briefly. As we record this podcast, it's only a few hours since the results were released. What's your sense already, Pete, of the initial reaction from analysts?
Yeah, the analyst reaction this morning was really positive, both in terms of the results and the pension transaction. And clearly, the ultimate measure is the share price. And as we sit here, it's 2.5% up. So, good reaction.
Right, for the moment, thank you, both of you. It's time in a moment, though, to get the tissues out, because we're going to bid farewell to Pete Lynas.
Conversation.
You're listening to Our Conversation. I'm Tim Smith. Now, twice a year, it's always been a pleasure to welcome Pete Lynas to review the finances of the company. But all good things must come to an end. And after 35 years, Pete is retiring from the business. 9 years, I believe, Pete spent as Group Finance Director.
That's right.
Was it a difficult decision? Because you've loved this job and you've been involved one way or another with the company, as I say, for 35 years, going back to Marconi days, yeah?
Yeah, it's been a long haul. It's been a great time. Had some good fun along the way, and it's always been an honour and a privilege to do the role. Hitting 62, it's time for a bit of a refresh, both for me personally and also for the business. We've got a great guy, Brad, who's been hired in to take over from me. So the company's in good shape, and I'm sure Charles and the new team will take it further.
Are you going to miss it then?
Yeah, of course I'll miss it. Having that involvement and having that sense of pride. And, to be honest, almost a sense of ownership. I'll miss that. But it's time for a change. And, I've got fantastic home life, amazing wife, and, we can't wait to share some time.
Charles, you've mentioned before how much you valued Pete's support as you got to know the business. I guess you're going to miss having him on the executive committee.
I am indeed. I mean, Pete's made a huge contribution to the business. Most of it predating me, but even me coming in from the outside, having Pete with all of his depth of knowledge and experience has been, genuinely invaluable. And I count on Pete as a great friend as well as a colleague. And he really has helped me in the business. And, frankly, this business owes Pete a huge debt of gratitude.
OK, Charles, thank you. Well, Pete, your colleagues have been eager to share their memories of working with you. And after some careful editing, here they are.
Hi, this is Jerry DeMuro. What I would say about Pete is he's had a very long and distinguished career. He's been a great partner to the U.S. business, great colleague, and a great confidant. And he's an interesting contradiction, Pete, as a person. He has this very stern visage, and he's the CFO of a FTSE 100 company, global operations. We do some very serious things around the world, and he's a very serious man. Governance of the corporation he takes very seriously. Yet he's the same guy that's done basically a backpacking tour on a motorcycle with just a T-shirt around the United States, he and another friend. And he's run with the Bulls at Pamplona. So he's a very unique individual who will be sorely missed. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to have worked with him over this last half dozen years. And we wish him well.
Pete, Andrew here, Andrew Gallagher. From the day I met you across the table back in 1998, it has been a true privilege to work with you, to know you, and to learn from you over the past 22 years. Good luck, best wishes, and have a brilliant new phase in life.
Hi, Pete. It's Dave Armstrong here. Just want to share with you, Pete, what it was like working in MBDA. We were always a little bit, scared was probably the word, and a little bit worried. But it wasn't Ian, it was you. When's Pete going to start asking the questions on the numbers? When's Pete going to start digging in? And it was always a relief when we'd got through that phase. But I just also want to share with you, having got to know you, yes, you give people a good grilling on the numbers, but both your heart and your head was always with the business, and it's been a privilege working with you for the last 2 years, side by side.
My name is Philip Bramwell, I'm the Group General Counsel, and I've worked with Pete 14 years now. One thing that I think everyone should know about Pete is that he's absolutely consistent between his professional life and his private life. And that is, he is very mean with his money, both in his corporate capacity as CFO and in personal life, if you ever entrust him, for example, to rent a mode of transport. In the event that you were to go on a road trip with Pete, make sure that you're the one that hires the car. Because if you let him hire the car, he will go to Rent-A-Wreck and you will never reach your destination.
Fantastic stories and memories. I'm sure you've no idea what he's talking about, have you, Pete?
Absolutely none. I thought it was a very generous spirit. So
I won't be asking for any money before you leave today, by the way. It's a bit like this Is Your Life, that. How do you feel hearing those stories?
It's there's some moments there. It's very touching and some very kind words. So, yeah, I'm feeling quite emotional.
Well, Charles, we should say that Brad Grieve takes over from Pete. Can you tell us briefly a bit about Brad?
Brad is obviously got some big shoes to fill, and he certainly knows that. And he's had a few months now with Pete, which has been, you know, genuinely invaluable for Brad, just as I had time with Ian. You know, Brad brings with him 30 years of international experience, large capital projects and programs. You know, as I've said, he's been with us since September, learning the business, and he's been a great addition to the team. He's fitted very well into the EC. He's been getting out, meeting the business, and he's now going to be joining me on the roadshow of both UK and US investors over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, Pete, Charles, for the moment, thank you very much indeed. We have questions from your colleagues coming up next.
Our conversation.
Okay, back to business now then. It's a colleague's questions, and the first one comes up for you, Pete. In fact, it's from a number of colleagues. We've had a lot of people asking about the £1 billion pension deficit funding announcement, which we spoke about briefly earlier in the podcast. They want to know, why are you funding the payment by taking on new debt? Doesn't that just shift the problem elsewhere? So can you talk us through that in some detail?
Yeah, okay. The original deficit recovery plan was that we would pay about the same amount through to 2026. So what we're doing is an acceleration here. We will go to the markets to take a billion of debt. But clearly what we'll be doing is saving that cash flow in the outer years. So by bringing it forward, we're giving the certainty that I talked about earlier. And just from an economics perspective, you know, the cost of money, cost of borrowing these days is so cheap. If you look at the asset returns that we get, last year we delivered a 12% return on our assets. So just from the economics, it makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah. All right, Pete, thank you very much indeed again for that. Our next question is for you, Charles. It comes from Stephen Brown, who's an associate project manager in the air sector. Stephen, hello, welcome to the podcast. What's your question for Charles, please?
My question, Charles, is BAE Systems now more interested in how we act as employees of the organisation rather than how well we meet our objectives?
Well, Stephen, that's a very good question and quite a difficult question to answer, because it's not a either-or or black-and-white answer. I mean, really, it's a balance between those two. Obviously, we're concerned about the outcome and the achieving our objectives. But what we've also said is just as important as that is how we get there. And, you know, I genuinely believe that the way we do things, creating the right, you know, culture within the workplace, an inclusive culture, that allows people to really be their best at work, that actually helps us to achieve our objectives. So in a sense, the two are mutually complementary, and it's not an either-or you know, position to be taking on this. You know, historically, we focus very much on the output and less on the how. We haven't really talked about it, haven't really evaluated it, haven't really been that clear sometimes of the kind of behaviours that we're expecting. And going forward, I think what we want to do is provide some more clarity around that and, you know, lead by example. In that sense.
Stephen, do you want to ask Charles anything else?
Yes, please. Charles, is there a belief that our behaviour will drive greater success and talent retention within the organisation?
And again, a very good question, Stephen. And the answer is yes. And in fact, those are some of the reasons why we are going about doing exactly what we're doing in terms of introducing behaviours and talking a lot about the how as well as the what. I firmly believe that if everyone is, we're not looking for sort of a uniform way of doing things, but we are looking to encourage, you know, certain behaviours and the way we go about things to try and get the best out of absolutely everybody in this business. And it's those kind of things that I think, you know, whether it's a, you know, popping a champagne cork, but it really unleashes the potential of everybody in the business and, you know, takes us to that next level of performance.
As you say, it's a question of balance. Presumably, it's an issue that needs constant review and constant attention.
It is. I mean, in my own head, and of course, being an engineer, I don't want to overcomplicate it, but I think of it as almost two dimensions or two different axes on a graph. You know, so rather than sort of moving along the same axis, you know, we're basically working in two dimensions and trying to sort of hit that sweet spot of the right set of behaviours and the right set of outcomes. And I think, you know, we can all do that. We can all do better in that. And, you know, being clear about the behaviours that we expect within the business, that we, you know, promote for, that we hire for, that we encourage, and then making sure that as a leadership team that we're walking the talk, that we're exhibiting those, and we absolutely endeavour to do. I'm not saying that any of us are perfect, but we endeavour to do that. I think, you know, those are the kind of things that gets the business, you know, as I say, really performing at the next level.
All right, Charles, thank you for that comprehensive answer. And Stephen Brown, who's an associate project manager in the air sector, thank you for your question. Indeed, thanks to everybody who sent us questions. If you'd like to ask a question on a future podcast, drop us a line to ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's our email address, ourconversation@baesystems.com. Well, that's very nearly it for this podcast. But Pete, we wanted to relive a few of our favourite moments from your time on the podcast just before we bid you farewell again. These, as they say on television, are your best bits, loosely speaking, behind the scenes.
Hairdressers.
Hairdressers.
Not with these two, anyway.
What's a hairdresser? Jeez. When you go to Portsmouth, do you have a pie and then a wagon wheel?
Pie and a wagon wheel? No, I have a great big fat burger. And about 12 pints. That's why I have tuna and broccoli during the week.
The thing is, I'm not surprised by that. Pete Linus, Group Finance Director and football expert. Pete, nice to see you. Welcome back.
Yeah, so pleased to be here.
You sound it. Before we get into the figures. So clearly a subject there of great and indeed growing significance and importance.
Absolutely. Are we talking about Portsmouth defence now or what?
No, we're talking about cyber resilience. I thought you'd be on the pitch anyway doing that.
Yeah, Pete streaks across.
No change there. 8 pints down, anything can happen.
That was lovely.
Oh, lovely.
It was all lovely, that.
Lovely jubbly.
Lovely. So some wonderful memories there for you, Pete, from your time on the Our Conversation podcast, and some entertaining memories, I think you'll agree. Listen, all that remains is for us to wish you a very happy retirement, whatever you decide to do and wherever you go travelling. Listen, all the best. Good to have worked with you and good to have met you.
Thanks, Tim. It's been a pleasure and a lot of laughs too.
All right, Pete Linus, thank you very much indeed. On the next edition of Our Conversation, we'll have more news and features from around the BAE Systems community, including highlights from the Chairman's Gold Awards. Until then, though, from me, Tim Smith, from Charles Woodburn, and from Pete Linus, it's goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.